Okay, thanks, Ron, and good evening, y'all. It's good to have you with us tonight on the eve of Thanksgiving, and to realize and understand that all things come from God and that He furnishes with all this stuff, and He furnishes us with His Word. And we know that as we open this Word, that it is written to sinners, that they may know God and may know what His requirements of for us as sinners. And even though we're saved, we're always still sinners, because we live in a sinful world, and sin is in that capacity creates problems for us that we sometimes even don't realize. But yet, here we are. And this is what we have, and so we're going to use it as best we can for the glory of God. This is study 16 in our study on Hebrews. And turn with me to the 9th chapter of Hebrews, and we're going to start at verse 13 again. 13 and 14 we read last week, but I want to start there again tonight because we've got a lot to cover, and hopefully that we can get the rest of this chapter in. I would like to, don't know where I'll have time or not, but nevertheless, we're going to give it a shot. So grab your book and grab a chair or seat or whatever you got to sit down and stay with us in, and we're going to drop right into this and get started because it is very, very important. And the things that Paul is telling these Hebrew people, he don't know the rest of the story yet. And a lot of times since I've been doing these studies that Paul has gotten involved in, now that we have the rest of the story, so to speak, I can put in my notes, and sometimes when I read a verse of scripture, I will go back and reread it to where it makes it a little easier for you and I to understand. And I do that is because I have already understood a lot about what Paul had got from Jesus Christ concerning the mystery. But here, Paul doesn't know it all yet. But even these Hebrews do not know near as much as Paul does. But still, he said there back in the 5th chapter, I believe it was, that you need someone to teach you instead of you teaching someone. And so Paul is doing this, and this is the reason why this is written this way. So I'm going to read these verses, and then we're going to go back over them and take just a minute and add to them or give you a clearer understanding of this, because now, you know, you and I, looking back, should be able to know at least a great portion of the rest of the story. And if you don't, maybe this will help each of us to learn a little more about it is what we're doing. And we're talking here about the tabernacle and about Paul being our high priest. About Christ being our high priest. And this is what Paul's writing about. And so the work that Christ did, I'm going to ask some questions, and I might not expect an answer, but I might give you an answer anyway. So let's look. We'll start at 13. It says, for if in today's date is the 22nd of November 2018. 9/13.
Or 21st of November. Yeah.
Is it the 21st?
Yeah, today is the 21st. That's okay.
Is this not Wednesday?
It's still Wednesday, but it's still the 21st. Okay. According to my
okay. All right. Okay. I don't know why I wrote 22
the
on there.
The computer agrees with me.
Okay. I won't argue with the computer. It says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. So this is where we left off, and he's talking about what the Hebrews had to do. So it says, for if, or for putting it simply, the word there, and if you look it up in the Strong's, is the word EI. If. Putting it simply, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a true red heifer. Because this is what they use. They took the ashes of a red heifer, a red one without any white hair, and they sprinkled it on the, when they finished up doing the sacrifices, they sprinkled it there for purification. And they always use the ashes of a red heifer to do that. So, it says, sprinkle the unclean, sanctify to the purifying, of the flesh. And, that means, to or as an end of the purifying. And purifying there is 25:14 in the Strong's, and it means cleanness, clean, and pure is to make that of the flesh that they are using for the sacrifice. And then 14 says this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, because all of the law was works. And he says here that this new deal that Christ did for us was to do away with the old. And the old was to point you toward Christ, and it was to point you toward that stake that he was on. So it says, how much more or greater shall the blood of Christ, the Messiah, who through, and through there means the diameter of the eternal Spirit, looking back at verse 12, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit offered himself. So, we need to look at that word offered himself there, because we need to look to this. He offered himself. He did not sacrifice himself, because that was carried out by other people.
Yeah.
That was carried out by the Romans.
But he uttered not a word.
But no, but he offered himself. He didn't, he didn't sacrifice himself. He didn't cause it to be done. The other people did it. Okay? It was carried out by others, and he was without spot, or he was without shadow, the shadow of sin. To God, Theos, he said, it purged your conscience of lawful things, that it moved you away or apart from dead works, to serve or to do the service now of the living God. You're going to leave the law behind. In other words, that's what this is saying. You're going to do away with the law. The law is no more going to need to be required, but it is the understanding that now you can serve the living God, the one that gave his life and blood for you and me in verse 14. So let's get to 15. And 15 says this, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
Wow.
And so this is, we're making comparisons now with the new and the old when you get to verse 15. From 15 through 23 is a comparison from the old to the new. For this cause, or on account of this fact, he, Christ, is the mediator. He is the go-between, 33:16, in the Strong's, the intercessor, or the reconciler. He's the middleman, if you will, of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, by the means of his death had taken place. His death had taken that place of death for the redemption. Death brought of the transgressions or the sins, that was how he died, that were under the first testament or the first covenant. They which are called or chosen might be able to receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. You see, they had an inheritance. God made them a promise. And even now, as far as we've gotten in the book of Hebrews, nothing has ever been said about the heavenly city. But in the next chapter or two, we're going to find that Paul knew that Abraham looked for a city whose maker and builder was God. So he hasn't told them yet about this. But yet, we have the rest of the story, so we can say, well, yeah, now we know what he's talking about when he's talking about an eternal inheritance. There is life again, and it is with God. Verse 16. And we get a lot of stuff from this. Listen to this. For where a testament is, or a covenant is, an agreement, there must also be the necessity, be the death of the tester. Well, the reason that this is being mentioned here, God is making his will known to mankind, but he's not going to die. But Jesus Christ was the tester, and Jesus Christ died. The Father didn't die, but the Son did die. And so death was involved in this here, but it was the will of God. That was the agreement.
Yeah, the covenant was sealed by the death of a testator.
Right.
It had to be.
It says, for where a testament, an agreement, and or God's will is, there must also of necessity be the death, or a death must be brought in of the testator, the appointed victim, and the final wishes. His final wishes are the final wishes of the Father.
By necessity.
Right.
It has to happen.
It had to happen.
Yeah.
And you see, when Abraham made the agreement when God made the agreement, the Father made the agreement with Abraham, they killed the sacrifices, and God put Abraham to sleep, and God walked between the pieces and fought off the animals that were there before the stuff was cooked on the altar, on the fire. And now, here, it was agreed to by the Father and the Son that the Son would give his life and give his blood for your sins and my sins and for the sins of all the people on the earth, even before the earth was ever created. Now, 17. It says, for a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth. Well, you see, we get our wills. We make our wills in that same fashion, other than the fact that we have to die in order for our will to be completed. But God did not have to die, but his son had to die to take that and make it in effect.
Yeah.
And so it was necessary. It was foreknown that he was going to do it. And he came and he did it. And it was in his will that he would do the Father's wish. And so in 17, we do our wills kind of the same way, only we have to die before those wills become lawful.
Yeah, you know, if I was going to leave my kids something in my will, as long as I'm alive, that will is not enforced.
No,
after I die, that's when the difference
happens. Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's where we get, that's where man gets the fact of making a will. You know, it was God's will that his son would die. So, you know, when we make our wills, that it's our will that when we're gone, that our wishes are carried out, just like the son carried out the father's wishes on the cross for mankind. 17. 18 says this, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. The agreement there wasn't dedicated without blood. Something had to give its blood.
It sounds like we're in a blood study again.
Right. See, inaugurated or to be put in place by the God passing through the parts of the pieces whenever he and Abraham made the first.
And when Abraham killed them and prepared them, they bled.
Right.
The blood was shed.
Yeah.
Because the animal had to give up its life.
Right.
Yeah.
And then God kind of put Abraham to sleep because God was the one making these,
yeah,
making this covenant. Abraham didn't have no say in what was going on here.
Yeah.
But he knew when he kind of come to his senses, so to speak, he knew, how things worked that way. And it says in verse 19, it says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves. Listen to this now. We're going to talk about this a little bit. He took the blood of calves and goats with water. And I want you to think about this, because I want you to think about water as being a different subject, and scarlet, that being a different subject, wool, that being a different subject, and hyssop, that being a different subject, and sprinkle both the book and all the people. And I'm going to read 20 along with it, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moses read it to the people, and they said, what you say, we will do.
And the people agreed.
Yeah, that, let's see, that was, I thought I had written it down somewhere, and I may still have. But anyway, let's break this down just a little bit. It says, for when Moses had spoken, literally commanded, and had been made to tell, or to be told, every precept exactly to all the people according to the law, also as to how it was to be done, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water. Now that water, when he took that in there, that was water to clean himself with. He was going to have to baptize himself, the high priest. Okay? That was what the water was for. Okay? And scarlet. Now this is a little different thing, and You may not have ever thought about it, and you may not have ever looked it up, but the word is kokonos in the Greek. And kokonos means a blood-sucking parasite, very small in size, kind of like what we call in the South here a chigger. Because when a chigger bites into you and makes himself a little burrow in there, he goes from transparent to red because he has taken some of your blood. Okay? Now, these little parasites on these animals that were being slaughtered, and I don't know where they come from within the meat or where they come from the skin. Now you, and you don't have to agree with any of this, but it's written here in God's Word, so we need to talk about it a little bit. And so these parasites, whenever they got loaded with the blood, whether they got it from the intestines or whether they got it from the skin, it really doesn't matter in my view, but still they would also turn red. So that's where the scarlet come from. And these animals left that sacrifice because it died and they could not get any more blood. And so, you know, if you've got an animal living outside, say a dog or a cat that lives outside and it gets sick, if you want to save a vet bill, if it gets sick, you look at the underbelly of either one of these, and if it normally has some fleas, if the fleas are gone, you're wasting your money to take it to the vet because it's going to die. These parasites know whenever their master dies, wherever they're getting their blood, they have to have the blood to live. And you say, Cecil, why are you telling me all this stuff? Because this is what is taken in. He goes in with the blood of calves and goats, and he goes in with water to clean himself, and this scarlet is these red bugs that's full of blood from them animals. And then is wool there, because, and it says wool is white as snow. And he lays that wool down there where these bugs are leaving this meat of this carcass of this sacrifice. And that's to where that the high priest can see these bugs going through this white wool. Because that's God's grace for them, because they didn't have any deal in the killing. And they're looking for some place new to go and suck blood. And God's grace gives them that by going through this white wool, that the high priest can see that taking place.
Yeah, he may, without the okay. white background, he may have a problem.
Yeah, and then it says hyssop. And he sprinkled both the book and all the people. Okay. So he was at an altar. Moses was at an altar here going to burn this sacrifice, going to burn this or going to cook this meat. And so this is how he could tell that these little animals were leaving that and going somewhere else. But hyssop, so I want you to look at that. The thing of hyssop's there. And hyssop's, the wool is the word Eron, and it means white as snow. And hyssop's is 5301. I'm going to give you the Greek, and I'm also going to give you the Hebrew meaning of these words. The Greek, the hyssop in the Greek means to blow out or exhale or to give up life. That's what hyssop means. It is a plant that has a rubbery-like leaf, like a sponge, and it will absorb liquid. And that's the reason that God told him to use it, sprinkle on the mercy seat.
Yeah, like a sponge.
They used it on the doorpost and the lintels in Egypt.
It's almost like a paintbrush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that sense. Now, in the Hebrew, it's in the Strong's, it's 231 in the Hebrew, and it means to be gone at that time. To be gone at that time, or to give up life at that time. And I want you to turn to John 19, verse 29. The book of John, and we're going to go to 19, and we're going to read 29, 30, and 31. And this was where they were crucifying Christ. This was where he was upon the stake. And it says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it in his mouth. The hyssop there says, you're gonna die. You've got to give up that breath. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. And the Jews, therefore, because it was preparation, or the time of preparation, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day is a high day or a high holy day to them, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And they came and broke the legs of the first and the other, and they came to Jesus, and he was dead already. But the hyssop, any time that you see the word hyssop in Scripture, it means that something is going to lose its breath, or that it has lost its breath, or either where it was in the Hebrew or whether it was in the Greek.
It happened in the very next verse, too.
Yeah.
After they had raised it up there, he was done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've
okay.
Never noticed that before.
So we get down to verse 20. How we doing on time? Pretty good. Say, this is the blood of the testament. We read that. Moreover, in verse 21 of Hebrews 9, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. So, it says, and also he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, the movable church, and all the vessels of the ministry, or all the vessels that was dealing with the sacrifice that was given there in the Holy of Holies. And the high priest did that. Okay. So verse 22, it says this, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And it says, and, or because almost all things are by the law. By the law.
According to the law.
According to the law. Purged with blood. So that's the reason that Moses sprinkled the book that contained the law, and he sprinkled the people because they said, we will uphold the law. The blood was the connection between the book and the people that you find there in 19 where it says, and he sprinkled both the book and the people. So with the same blood. So when he did that at the altar, now that was at the altar. That wasn't in the tabernacle. That was at the altar that they made sacrifices on there. And then we get down to 23. And then 23 says, and it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves, better sacrifices than these. So he says, 23, it was therefore. You see what therefore? You see therefore in there? And every time you see therefore in the scripture, it's kind of like coming up to a railroad crossing where there used to be an old round thing, the round sign at the top and the crossbars on it. And it says, stop, look, and listen. And you need to look both ways and be sure there's nothing coming because your life depended on it. And it says this. It was therefore, you need to stop, look, and listen. It was necessary. Necessary here is 318 in the Strong's in the Greek. And it means to constrain yourself. You need to take the time to constrain yourself, to get yourself under control. Okay? And understand that the patterns, the copies, or the examples of things in the heavens should be purified, 25:11, to make clean, kathedizo, or pure, with these. Both the heavenly things themselves.
But the heavenly things.
The Iranians, the above things, with better sacrifices. The one better and the greater sacrifice was Christ's blood.
So then, the copy on earth could be done with the blood of the bulls and the goats and the calves, yeah. But not the real one.
But not the real
one. Yeah.
And that's the reason I asked Ron the question earlier. Was the heavenly holy of holies, was it created for one individual? Was there anybody ever going to go in there except the Son of God?
I think not.
Have you ever thought about that? You know, because Moses was told, you're going to build this tabernacle and it's going to have a holy of holies. It's going to have therein where I can come and be with my people, and it's going to be built like the one that's in heaven.
That has always existed.
Was it made for one? Was it made for one? Does that not give you a little chill?
Yeah.
That it was made for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And guess what he done? We're going to read about that in just a minute. What he did when he went there. And how it affects you and me today. Okay? Let's go to 24. It said, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. No, he didn't. He didn't go in to the one here on the earth, which are the figures of the true. They're only figures of the true. They represent the true one, but he went into heaven itself.
The original. Yeah.
The original. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. What did we just read? Now to appear. Not to come. He appeared there. Just like he's going to appear here. When Paul understands the mystery, he don't have to change a word of what he said right here at this thing. Isn't that something else? Now to appear in the presence of God for us. He did it for us. but he appeared unto God. But the next time he's going to appear, he's going to appear unto us for God. Woo!
Yeah.
Like, Larry, get out the flag and wave it a little bit. For Christ did not enter into the holy places made with hands, man-made, which are figures or copies. Of the true. The copy is antitupon in the Greek, and I don't say it right, I know. But the true God's made is alethanos. So there's a difference in pronunciation between the man-made and the heavenly made in that sense. It says, but into heaven itself. Now, to appear in the presence of God for us. And here is a colon at the end of that verse of scripture. It is a full stop. You see.
Yeah, I've been posting scripture, folks, but I did not see the message that was telling me that I had too many characters, so.
And they had to appear 40 days. See, Christ appeared in the presence of God in the heavens, and then he was back here on the earth. In heaven and on earth for his body. And the next events is where Christ will be seen by us. You see, that is a full stop. And I know that man put the punctuation in this. It did not come with punctuation. But it was understood by those that went and translated it for us that was meant to be there that we might know and understand that. See, because when he appeared before God and then he came back and he finished his work here in the 40 days that he had left, and then he ascended back into heaven. Okay.
He has since been hid in God.
Now he's hid in God. He has been hid in God, and he has been silent after returning back to God. He hasn't been seen, and he's yet to be seen until he appears again. That is the next big thing on God's calendar, is that he is going to appear with his body, and we're going to be with him there. Those that have the Holy Spirit in their heart and in their body, that Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs, it is our GPS. It is our God's perfect Son who leads, guides, and directs us in the ways that we should go to do the will of God and to be found able to become part of the body of Christ. Verse 25. And he says, nor yet, or not that, he, Christ, should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. So, this is pretty self-explanatory. This is the high priest, the man inherited job, because Christ is a symbol of the high priest, but he is not to die anymore. But the high priest back then, it was an inherited position of the Levite tribe, that the high priest and those that did the service of God would come from a distinct group of people within the 12 tribes. And their job was to do the sacrifice and to do the teaching of God's will here on the earth. And also to do the sacrifices and to offer the gifts that people brought to the either the tabernacle or to the building that Solomon built upon the mount.
The temple itself.
Yeah. The temple itself. It says in 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world if he didn't go, I mean, if he had to go all the time or every time. But now once," you see that "but now"? This is Paul's signature. If you didn't believe it in the others, look at it here. The "but now" is here. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world,
or the age,
had he appeared. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Wow.
So you see,
always tears me up reading Hebrews.
He did one time what people had to do every year.
Yeah.
He did it one time, and it's going to go on until the end of the world, and that will give you your internal inheritance. And because he says at the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered. He offered himself to bear the sins of many. It doesn't say the sins of all, because you have to believe upon his name also. And they are those that have the Holy Spirit that dwells within, and they are those that have his name. His name will save you if you believe that. And it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Listen to this. Don't ever forget the rest of this verse of Scripture. Never forget it. We're going to read it again. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When he appears again, he's not going to come as a babe in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. He is going to come back without sin. He's going to come back with the full assurance of salvation. The full assurance that nothing that was ever promised was not going to take place. Everything that was promised is going to happen.
That's what Paul tells them. And Christ himself said, you know, be diligent and look. You got to be looking for that.
Right.
Looking for that second coming.
Yeah.
You got to be ready for it.
Okay. If you have said, yes, I believe, and he has put his Holy Spirit in your heart to lead, guide, and direct you. That is there for a reason. And the reason is that when he appears, he appeared to God for us, and now he's going to appear to us for God. Does that make sense? It does to me. And that we will become part of his body. And those that believed on his name will have life, but not be part of the body, as best I can tell. You might disagree with that, and that's okay if you see it some other way. But they are those that are chosen for his body, and then they are those that are chosen to have life again and to live in this new earth that's going to be created, and it's going to be populated. But man's not going to repopulate it. God is going to populate it with those that have been here. And a lot of times people get the idea, well, when I die, I'm going to be with my husband and we're going to do all this stuff just like we did here on the earth. That's like Earnhardt driving his race car here. He's not going to drive it in heaven. That's not going to be an option. But they are those that can have life through his name and not be in the body of Christ. It's just that way. He has the right to pick and choose. God always has the right to pick and choose. A lot of people say, well, why did he choose this nation out of Abraham? I don't know. Because he had a lot of problem with them.
But God knows.
But God knows why he chose them.
Yep.
Now, if you want somebody that's got the answer, you got to wait till you get there.
You got to talk to the man.
You got to talk to the man that knows. And I'll tell you one thing. It was so important that God's son, he laid down all his glory aside and come as a single cell individual and was placed in the womb of Mary. And 9 months later, he come as a child in swaddling clothes, and then he lived 30 years before he could start his ministry. Otherwise, Joseph and Mary could have been helped for what he was might have taught. And that was something that was, I think, a certain possibility. Because when he started teaching and preaching, these people started after him to try to get him, and he could go through a crowd and not be touched. They could not lay a finger on him. He was still a man, but he was God's man. And he was God's son. He was our God, but he was our man.
Amen.
You see. And it was only until he allowed himself to be taken. You see, he didn't sacrifice himself.
Yeah, he said, I've got the power to lay my life
right.
down.
Right. He allowed himself to be taken and to do this. And so, therefore, now we have the privilege and the understanding to stand on the grace side of the stake and to realize that what he did on that stake for mankind. One side was the law, the other side was the grace, and when he went and did that, it was grace all around.
Amen.
It was grace all around. Because he made it possible that everyone who believes can have hope. Everyone that believes on Jesus Christ can have hope. And that's the way. That is the way, that's the only way that you can get to the Father now is by His Son.
Amen.
And when He comes back, and when He sets up His kingdom and He's going to be here for 1,000 years, all of the world is going to come to that little country of Israel over there. When He comes back, there's going to be an earthquake. A lot of that stuff's going to be wiped off. And I think He's going to set up David's throne right where He was crucified. That's my understanding. That's my thought. It would be very fitting that He would set His throne where His blood hit the ground. That blood that He didn't take back to the Father. And these people are going to come and He's going to try to straighten them out. He's going to give them a chance to have, He's going to raise them up. A lot of them, because they never saw Him.
And many will die the second death.
And if they don't believe Him that time, then they're going to die the second death. They're going to be done. Just like a lot of the others that never would believe Him to begin with. They're done. A lot of them people that murmured against God in the wilderness, the earth opened up and swallowed them up. They're done. They've already been judged in that sense. They're done. But He's going to give these people a chance and they're going to have Him. And then when God goes to taking care of all things that you read about in Revelations, it's only after that that things get better, because a lot of times that people look for the coming. Oh, I wish He'd come today. They don't know what they're saying. It's going to be bad, folks. When all these things are going to be poured out on the earth, and God takes His vengeance upon those that done His people dirt, that's not going to be a happy time. Not going to be a happy time. And I just can't see anybody that can read the scripture and understand that what's going to happen is would go out and say, well, I wish He'd come today.
Yeah, me either.
They would need to change. They would need to change their idea of things and change in a hurry. But that's what we're up against. We're up against, still up against, the sinfulness of this old world. And it is terrible. And it is getting worse day by day. And I want to say one more thing before we close. Please remember the families of those in California that are looking for their loved ones. That is a terrible thing. It's, you know, they've only found like 80, the remains of 80 something of them. And I know they're dead. But I also know that they probably understood that their cremation was coming while they were still alive.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible thing. I'm not against cremation. If somebody wants to be cremated after they're dead, that's okay.
I just don't want to see it coming.
But I don't want to be involved in it. If it's going to happen to me, I certainly don't want to be involved in it until my life leaves me.
Yeah.
And I know those people are still looking for some closure, and things happens all over the place. But that was on a scale that happened in just a few days, much bigger than we normally see take place. And And that's just a terrible thing for the ones that are living have to live through. And so on a day of Thanksgiving, we need to be thankful for where we are and what we have.
Amen.
But we need to remember those that were unfortunate that could not get out, but tried. A lot of them tried to get out. I read in the paper where one man started to leave his house, and he went down the road, and his vehicle quit because it got so hot. His vehicle quit on him, and he saw a fox cross the road and go down the hill. He jumped out of his vehicle, crossed the road, followed the fox down the hill, and he spent an hour and a half up and down in the water to save his life in the creek down there. Because he had the sense
the fox
to realize that the fox knew that the fox knew something that he didn't know.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
And that's the grace of God. That's all I can say. That's the grace of God at work for that individual. And I hope he understands and knows that. So thank you for being with us tonight, but to realize that Christ appeared before God with his blood for us, and then he's going to appear before us because of his blood for the purpose of God's will in each of our lives. Thank you very much for being with us tonight.